All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis, the Schwartzbaum family, the Schwartzbaum family in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Livracha, lay a soul in the schus of her daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery and complete Refuah Shlema for the safe return of our hostages and for the Hatzlacha of our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father Reuven Ben Emmanuel, Zichron Livracha, and in the merit of the Hatzlacha, health and joy for her entire family. And Yoan Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon, Hashem Yikom Damo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Haman Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and in the merit of Hashem, all the Cholim Shem Revua, together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. And as always, never enough time. So today's daf is Chaf Beis, but we have a lot to do still on Chaf Aleph Beis. So today's daf is 22. We are starting on 21b, and we are starting 18 lines down from the bottom. Tashma, Maos Mifuzaros. So we'll say again, if you remember, so we were dealing with the fascinating Machlokes Abaye and Rava regarding Yeosh Shalomidas, namely, Reuven loses an object, but he is not aware yet that he has lost the object. It is the kind of object that upon becoming aware of the loss, he will definitely experience Yeosh. He'll definitely experience Yeosh. So the Shaila now becomes, I find the object before Reuven even knows that he lost it. Am I allowed to keep the object now before Yeosh has occurred, knowing that Yeosh will ultimately occur? So this is Machlokes Abaye Rav. Abaye says Yeosh Shalomidas is not Yeosh, and therefore I do not have the ability to keep the object. Rav says it is Yeosh. So Gemara is bringing up a series of cases trying to bolster one opinion and contradict another opinion. Says Gemara Tashma, Maos Mifuzaros Ra'ilu Shalom. Mishnah said that if you find scattered money, right, I'm walking down the Shasarab and then I find scattered money, I am permitted to go ahead and keep that money. So the Gemara says, am I? I don't understand why is that permitted. I don't know, because the owner doesn't know that he lost it. So this is the case of Yeosh Shalomidas. So which the Gemara says, No. The Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yitzchak. What does Rabbi Yitzchak say? The Amar Adam Asui Lamashmish Bekiso Bechosha Avishal. So Rabbi Yitzchak says that it is common for a person to always like touch their wallets. You know, a person is always aware of his money. And therefore, the moment that a person loses the money, he is aware of it. So this is not a case of Yeish Shalomidas. This is a case of Das. Okay? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Igulei Dvela, V'kikar Shal Nachmara Eva Shalom. Mishnah said that if you're walking through Rosh Sarabim and I find dates, cakes of pressed figs, or loaves, right, baker's loaves. So these are cases where I am permitted to go ahead and keep the objects. I, the Gemara says, am I? How am I allowed to keep it? After all, v'halo yada d'nafal minei. But one second, but bepashtos, the owner of the object is not aware that he lost them. So isn't this a case of yeosh shalomidas? And yet the fact that I'm allowed to keep it would seem to indicate that halacha l'maisa, we pass to like Abaye, that yeosh shalomidas is yeosh. To which the Gemara says, no, hasamami agav diyakri meide yadabu. Since these items are heavy, people are aware, ultimately, again, if they dropped them or not. Okay? Tashma, l'shono shal argamon. So, literally, again, tufts of purple wool. Hare ilu shalom. If I'm walking in Rosh Sarabim and I find them, I'm allowed to keep them. Va'amai, halo yada d'nafo minei. But one second, the owner is unaware that he lost the object. To which the Gemara says, "Hasanami agav dechashivi mishmushe memashmesh behukid Rabbi Yitzchak." Since this is expensive, people are always checking for it. So therefore, essentially, what the Gemara is asking, or the Gemara is answering, is these are not cases of yeish shalomidas, because the person, as soon as he's aware of it, is acutely aware of the loss. Therefore, there's instantaneous yeosh. And therefore, by the time I find it, it's already ownerless and I'm allowed to go ahead and keep it. Good. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Hamotzi ma'os avati kinesi, os avati midrashos. Ubechom makom sharab yitzuyim sham. Hare elu shalom, mipnei shah bai lemesi ha'shimei. So we'll say, actually, interesting halacha. If you find money in the shul, or you find money in the base medrash, So what's the halacha? You're allowed to keep it. You're allowed to keep it. Why? Because b'pashtos, a shul, a beis medrash, is a public place, and therefore the owner gives up hope of really ever retrieving the money. By the way, that is not the halacha here, right? The halacha here is if you lose money, it's going to the building fund. So just to be clear. But again, so I will say, the idea over here is that once again, this seems to be a case of Yeyosh Shalomidas, and yet you see that Yeyosh Shalomidas is Yeyosh, like Rava, not like Abaye, to which the words, I have a holo yoda de nafal mirei, but Bepashlis, the person doesn't know that he lost the money. Amr Yitzchak, Adam Asri Lamash Mesh Bekisa Bechol Shah. So we keep on seeing this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, that it is common for a person to kind of, you know, pat his pocket. It's common for a person to kind of just want to be constantly aware of his money. And therefore, again, Bepashtos, when he loses the money, he's instantly aware of what's occurred, has experienced the Yeyosh, and therefore, when I find it, I'm permitted to keep it. Incredible. Tashma, Meima Saikha Odam Mutar Belaket Milaket. It was actually interesting halacha. So we know the halacha of Laket, right? Laket, Shichacha, Peya. So these are all agricultural tithes or agricultural portions that one is obligated to go ahead and leave for the poor, right? So remember again, so leket is that halacha l'maisa, I'm going ahead and I'm collecting my, harvesting my field. I left some stuff behind. I have to go ahead and leave that. I have to leave that ultimately for the poor. So the Gemara says, here's what's interesting. At what point in time do we assume that any leket left over in the field is totally hefker? It's totally hefker. So the Gemara says, when is that? It's interesting. Mishiyochu bo hanemushos. After the nemushos walk through the field, I ask the Gemara, "Varminan my nemushos? What's nemushos?" Varmav Yochanan sabi da azli atigra. It's the old people who walk with canes, who walk with sticks. Reish Lakish amar lekute basra lekute. It's the collectors who come after the collectors. The Gemara said, the idea being over here is that the final stage, after you leave tithes to the poor, so when the old people, according to the first one, when the old people come along, they walk very slowly. So because they walk very slowly, whatever is of value, they're going to collect. Or according to Reish Lakish, this likute basra likute, this is like the final stage collectors. So whatever is of value, they're going to take. And after this chevra passes through, whatever is left there. Why? It's left there. Why? Because no one wants it. Even the aniyim don't want it. So at that point in time, whatever is left becomes fundamentally hefker. I, the Gemara says, va'amai, nihid aniyim dahacha mi'ayshi, ika aniyim biduchta achrisa delo mi'ayshi. I don't understand. See, even though now at this point in time, maybe the local aniyim, maybe they have Yeyosh, but what about aniyim from a different town? Because remember again, both say leket, shichacha, peya, these are all open to any aniyim, not just to the regional aniyim. So why don't we say that again? Aniyim from another town, they might choose to come. To which the Gemara says, Amri kevan de'ika aniyim hacha, hanach me'ikar e'yushim yayish, ve'amri aniyim dehasam melaktile. This is actually very interesting. The Gemara says, in general, the way it works is that aniyim understand that the local aniyim are always going to be the ones who go ahead and collect from the tithes of the poor, right? So lemaisa, they already have yeyosh, right? The out-of-town aniyim already have yeyosh ultimately, again, on everything that's not in their domain. Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Chavra? Apparently this is the 32nd warning for the beginning of the fast. All right, enjoy. And remember a bracha achrona. So the Gemara says as follows. So Tashma, Kitzios Bederech, Vafilu Betzad Sadek Kitzios. So most listen to this. Let's say you find dried figs. Kitzios are dried figs. You find dried figs on the Derech, on the road. Even if you find the dried figs right next to a field where they're dafka drying figs, right? Oh, is that, yeah, that's the, see, his business. Yeah. Good, fast alarm, right? No, which means business. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, V'hil tzatzal yitzir, V'chei, te'ina, hanotel aderech, u'matzat te'ina tachta, or you have a fig tree, a fig tree that overhangs the Rosh Hasharab, that overhangs the road, and you find figs underneath it. So what's the halacha? Mutaros mishum gezel. So ultimately, again, if you come upon these fruits, right, you come upon the dried figs, the regular figs, ultimately, again, there's no theft. No theft means you're allowed to take it, which means that it's hefker. Upturos min ha-meiser. And ultimately, again, it is not subject to any type of meiser obligation, which also indicates that it's ownerless. However, again, when it comes to olives, or it comes to caribs, aser. It's aser. So what's going on over here? So first case, according to Abai, is not a question. Why? Agav de chashibi, memashmish behu. Since ultimately, again, this is a chashav item, a person is constantly aware of it. Te'in anami, when it comes to the case of the fig, so made the yada denatra. It's common. People know that it's going to fall off the tree. Ela seifa the rava kasha, but what does rava do with the seifa? So the Gemara says, diktani bezeisim mecharuvim aser. On Rabbi Avo, shiny zayis is interesting. An olive is different. Why is an olive different? Hoil bechazuso mochiach alav. Shabbo said, this is fascinating. Who knew? Apparently, not all olives look the same. And apparently, again, I guess if you're holding in olives, so olives that come from a particular place, olives come from an orchard, okay, an olive grove, right? So olives, you're able to identify which olives came from which field. And even though the olives fall off the tree, people know which olives came from which person's field. Incredible. Duchta de inish inishu. A person's place is his place. Iyahi, if that's the case, afilu reisha nami. What about the reisha? Switch to Gemara. Amra papa, te'ina in the filasim the meses. A fig is different. Right? A fig is different. Why is a fig different? Because once a fig falls off the tree, it becomes disgusting. Right? Once it gets on the ground, it becomes disgusting. So therefore, by definition, it's going to be yeush with that. All right. Tashma. Interesting case, I will say. Haganav shenatal mizeven nasan lazeh. A thief steals from Reuven and gives to Shimon. V'chein. Gazlon shenatal mizeven nasan lazeh. Or a gazlon. I must remember again, difference between a ganov and a gazlon, right? So a ganov steals secretly, surreptitiously. A gazlon steals in an outright fashion. So in both of these cases, you have a ganov or a gazlon who stole from Reuven and gave to Shimon. What's the halacha? Top of Chav Beis 22a. The chenyardin shenatol mizeven nasan lazeh. Or I will say, imagine for a moment the Jordan River, right? The river took from this one and gave to that one, which means that the river, right, washed away the property of Reuven and ultimately, again, deposited it in Shimon's field. Mashenatol natol umashenasan nasan. So Rabbi said, this is interesting. What's been taken has been taken, and what's been given is what's been given. So Rabbi said, so bepashtos, what this means is that what? That the second party acquires the object. Second party acquires the object. I says Gemara, okay, let's analyze this a little bit. Bishlama gazlon viyardin tekachazi lehu umiyayish. So I understand the case of gazlon and in the case of the river. Why? Because we're saying in these cases, Reuven is seeing that what? Armed robbers are stealing an object from him. Reuven is seeing that the river is washing it away from him. So he sees it. He knows he's not getting it back. He has yeush. Once he has yeush, what's the status of the item? Hefker. So therefore, once it reaches Shimon's hands, it makes sense that Shimon acquires the object because Shimon has acquired an object from Hefker. Ela ganov. Mika chazile demiyayish, but in the case of Ganav, Rabosai, so somebody is secretly, right, or surreptitiously breaking into Reuven's house, stealing an object. Reuven doesn't even know about it. So if Reuven doesn't know about it, therefore what? This is Yeh Shalomidas. If it's Yeh Shalomidas, then still when it gets to Shimon's hands, Reuven doesn't know about it yet. So how could Shimon acquire it? Rabosai, now the fact that the Braisa says that Shimon acquires it indicates to us that what? That Yeush Shalomidas Havi Yeush. Is Yeush bolstering the position of Rava, contradicting Abaye? To which the Gemara says, no, Tergum Rapapa, Belistim Mizuyin. No, Rapapa says, what's the case? They both say, what's the case of Ganov? The case of Ganov ultimately is a case of armed robbers. To which the Gemara says, Belistim Mizuyin, Ihachi, Hainu Gazlon. So I said, that's not Ganav. That's not Ganav. That's Gazlan. The Gemara says, you're right. Trey Gavni Gazlan. You're right. We're actually not talking about a case of Gneva. We're talking about a case of Gzela. And there are two different cases of Gazlan. One is, I guess, a good old Gazlan who just goes ahead and, you know, I don't know, threatens you or just, you know, punches you, uses his fist. And then there's armed robbers. Two different cases of Gazlan. Okay, but in Achinami, the Bryce is not talking about a case of Ganav. In other words, what's essentially what the Gemara is answering is, it's not a case of Yesh Shalomidas. That's the bottom line answer. Tashma, well, let's go back there. Again, I will say, these cases are exciting because it's just like rapid fire cases trying to either question Abaye or Rava. So it says the Gemara, Tashma, Shataf Nar Korav Eitzav Avanov, Venasna Besoch Saleh Chaverov. So we'll say, watch this case. The river overflows my field. And what does it do? It washes away my property, right? My beams or my stones, and deposits it in Reuven's field. So what's Talacha? Hari Elu Shalom Mishin Nisiyashu Bailim. Reuven becomes the owner of these objects. Why? Because I have experienced Yeush. I've experienced Yeush. Okay. To which the Gemara says, Hastama lo. What do you see from here? I'm sorry, Taima didn't see Yeshua Bailim. Hastama lo. They will say, why does Reuven become the owner of the object? Why? Because I experienced Yeush. So what do you see from here? Had I not experienced Yeush, right? Then ultimately again, Reuven wouldn't acquire it. What do you see from here? That Yeush Shalomidas is not Yeush. To which the Gemara Sachamayaskinon Kishiyachal Ahatzion. So this is interesting. What's the case over here? The case over here is that as the river was washing away the objects, I had the ability, had I chosen to do so, to rescue my property. To rescue my property. So the Gemara says, okay. So we'll say, so be pashtos, if I have the ability to go ahead and do it, and I don't do it, then suddenly, again, this is a case of what? This is a case of actual Yeush. To which the Gemara says, well, okay, let's analyze this. Ihaki ima seifa. But yeah, and then look at the end of the Braisa. Im hayu abayle mirat finach arehem, chayiv lahachzir. If, so the end of the Braisa says, if I was running after my property as it was being washed away, then ultimately, again, Reuven, who finds it afterwards, or whose property it's deposited in, is obligated to return it. The Gemara says, okay, ibi cholon lahatzil, but if it's a case where I'm able to save my property, my area meratvin, what does it matter if I'm running after it? Afilu im meratvin, even if I'm unable to go, even if I don't run after it. So the Gemara says, afilu im meratvin, afilu im meratvin nami. Right? Even if I'm not running after it, again, he should still be obligated to go ahead and return it. Why? Because since I know that I have the ability ultimately, again, to get back my property, I'm not miyayish. Hacham askinon, what's the case? Interesting case over here. So we'll say it's a case where I could save my property, but it's not easy to save it. In other words, I could save it, but it would require a significant amount of effort. So therefore, miratfin lo yayish, if I'm running after my property, that's clear that I'm not miyayish. Ein miratfin, but if I don't go and run after it, it is clear that I am experiencing Yeush. Okay? So Gemara goes back to Tashma. Keitzer Amru HaTorim Shalom Midaito Truma So Truma. So it's an interesting case over here. Like, how do you, this is an interesting case. I go into Reuven's field and I tithe. I take Truma from Reuven's produce. So in other words, I'm not a Kohen. It's not like I'm seizing anything for myself. But I'm going into Reuven's field and I'm separating out Truma from Reuven's property without Reuven's knowledge. Without Reuven's knowledge. So says the Gemara, what's the case of Hatorim Shalom Midas that the Truma is good? What's the case of when you tithe someone's property without their knowledge that the separation is still valid? Watch this. I go into Reuven's property and I tithe his property without his rishos. Im choshesh mishum gezel, ein truma sa truma. If there's a concern that Reuven's going to look at me as a thief, right, as a thief, inappropriately dealing with his property, then the designation is not valid. Vim lav, truma sa truma. But if he doesn't look at me as a thief, then ultimately the designation will be valid. So Gemara says, okay. Uminayin hu yadim choshesh mishum gezel vim lav. So it says, how do I know? How do I know, right? So here, again, just to be clear, I'm trying to do the right, not the right thing. I'm trying to do something nice. I think, you know what? Reuven works so hard. He's so busy. Let me just go into his field and separate out as truma for him. So the kashayla is, does a designation work? So the Gemara says, it depends. Does Reuven look at me as a thief or not? If he looks at me as a thief, then ultimately, again, designation is not good. If he doesn't look at me as a thief, then the designation is good. How do I know how Reuven looks at me? How do I know? To which the Gemara says, watch this. Harsheba balabayis umaza. Well, so here's how you. Reuven comes into the field and he finds me separating out the truma from his property. And remember again, he didn't ask me to do anything. Va'amarlo, and Reuven says to me, Kelecha itzo yafos, why didn't you separate out nicer produce? Oh, he says to me, you should have separated out even nicer produce for truma. So Rav says, this is interesting. So how do we interpret that statement? So the Gemara says, it depends. Em mimtsu yafos mehen trumasa truma. So Rav says, if it turns out that Reuven, in fact, does have nicer produce than the stuff I separated, then that's indicative of the fact that he's happy with what I did. He appreciates what I did, and he's saying I could have even done more. The imlav, I will say, however, what happens if it turns out that Reuven doesn't have nicer produce, then what? Ein shumasa truma. Then my designation is not a valid one. Why not? How do we view his statement? As a sarcastic and cynical one. Essentially what he's saying is, oh, you're like, make yourself at home. Why pour yourself a cup of coffee? You know, why don't you take my nicer produce? So again, it's interesting about saying how the same statement, right? So Reuven comes into the field, sees me separating truma on his behalf without being asked to do so. He says, oh, you should have used nicer produce. If he has nicer produce, that's indicative that he's happy with what I did. If he doesn't have nicer produce, that's indicative that he is unhappy with what I did and kind of voicing his displeasure in a shtickel, passive-aggressive, cynical, sarcastic fashion. So the Gemara says, Liktu habaylin vo sifu aleyin. We'll say, what happens if I designated Truma on Reuven's behalf without his knowledge? Then he comes to the field and he adds on. So benkach u'benkach trumasa truma. So then in that case, where clearly what he's doing is he's adding on to my designation that clearly indicates that he's happy with what I did and the designation is good. I says the Gemara, I don't understand the chinimtsu yafos men trumasa truma amai. So even in the case, right, where Reuven walks into the field and he says, you should have separated out nicer produce. And there is nicer produce. I don't understand why is it that the designation is good? After all, but in the taram halo yada. So I'll say Reuven had no idea what I was doing at the time that I did it. So Bipashtos, how should it work? In other words, at the end of the day, it's very nice that Reuven comes after the fact and says that Lamaisa, you should have done even nicer produce. And he has nicer produce. So that shows that he wants it. But Lamaisa, at the time that I was separating it, Reuven was not knowledgeable of what I was doing. So because he was not knowledgeable at the time that I was doing it, how does it work at all? So remember again, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, what do you see from here? That even if someone doesn't know what you're doing at the time that you're doing it, later on when they become knowledgeable, if they're happy with what occurred, then retroactively the Maisa is good. Which would also, if we loop this back, seem to indicate to us what? Yeyosh shalomidas havi yeyosh. Since the person ultimately, again, when he finds out, when he realizes that he lost the object, he's going to have yeyosh. So therefore, again, almost like retroactively, we say that the yeyosh takes effect as of now. Okay, to which the Gemara says, this is not a good proof, I'll tell you why. Tirgama Rava, Aliba Da'abaye, Vishavye Shliach. Different case of Osain. The case over here is, Reuven appointed me as an agent. So when I'm separating out Shumo, I'm actually doing it as a form of agency. The Gemara says it has to be this way. It has to be this way. Why? Because if it's the case where Reuven did not establish me as a shaliach, we'll say, if I am not acting as Reuven's shaliach, then my designation will be halachically irrelevant. Why? So the Gemara says, v'ha atem gam atem amarachmona l'rabos shluchachem. Shabbos said, because the Pasuk ultimately, again, by Truma says, Kein tarimu gam atem. So this is how you shall separate it, also you, gam atem. Shabbos said, gam atem comes to include that what? Not only does the owner of the produce have the ability to separate out Truma, but even who? Even an agent, even a shliach. But Shabbos said, but watch this. So the Gemara says, gam atem amrachmona, l'rabos shluchachem. Ma atem ledaitchem. So I'll say, just like when a person separates out his own truma, he does it with das. So too your shaliach has to operate with your das as well. Sefer the Gemara says, no, you've got the case all wrong over here. I'm not entering into Reuven's field just of my own volition, separating out, you know, in an unauthorized capacity. Reuven authorized me as his shaliach. That's what's happening over here. The Gemara says, okay, I understand. So if he's authorizing me as a shaliach, so then what's the problem? Well, I don't understand what the case is. So Ella Hacham asks, you know, what's the case? Kigon, the Shavi Shaliach, the Amr Le Ziltrom, fellow Amr Le Ziltrom Mehani. Watch this, Rabbi Sayyid. So what's unique about this case? This is actually quite fascinating. What's unique about this case is the following. Reuven appointed me as a Shaliach to separate out Truma. Right? So Reuven says, silver, so take Truma from my produce. What doesn't Reuven tell me? What doesn't he tell me? What type of produce to utilize? So therefore the Gemara says, Ustami de balabayis, kitarim mibeinu nesutarim. Now both say, stam balabas, when he separates out truma, what kind of produce does he separate from? Beinonis. Right? Medium grade produce. And what happens? So the Gemara says, va'azal ihu v'tar miyafos. I, the shaliach, so again, I'm empowered to be there, but he didn't give me any guidance about what kind of produce to use for truma, to separate out for truma. So stam balabas wants to use beinonis. I decided of my own volition to what? To separate out, right? It is the nicest produce for truma. So what's this? Now what's the shaila? The shaila does my designation work. So now this whole thing makes more sense. Uba balabayis umatzo. So the balabayis now, right? Reuven comes home and he sees what I did. And what is Reuven's response? Va'amar keilecha itzel yafos. And Reuven says, you should have used even nicer produce. So how do we interpret Reuven's statement? Im nimtzu yafos mehen truma. So truma will say first white line in the bottom. Say if Reuven indeed has nicer produce, then that's clear that Reuven's happy with my designation. And we're good to go. Ve'im lav, but if he doesn't have nicer produce, then we interpret that statement, his statement, as being one of sarcasm and cynicism. And therefore, my designation is not good because it's clear that he only wanted to use benonis. Incredible. Gemara tells a story about, say, along these same lines. Amaymar umar zucha v'rabashi, iklu labustana demari bar isik. Samaymar marzucha v'rabashi went to the orchard. Rashi says a pardes. On an orchard of Mari Bar Isik. Okay. I see I say Tamri Verimoni Vishada Kamayu. So the sharecropper of Mari Bar Isik, right? Mari Bar Isik apparently wasn't home or wasn't there. So the sharecropper brought before these Rabbanim dates and pomegranates. Amemav Ravashi Ahli, Amemav Ravashi ate of the produce. Marzucho lo ochel. Marzucho didn't eat. Rabbi say, now why was Marzucho not eating? Marzucho was concerned that it was theft. Marzucho was concerned that who says the sharecropper has the right to go ahead and give of the fruit to guests. So Marzucho felt, therefore, again, he didn't want to partake. Adahachia, while all this was going on, Asi Mari Bar Isik. So Mari Bar Isik, the owner of the field, came along. Ashkechinu, va'amalei la'ari, say, amaylo, I say, le'ilu rabbana mehanach shapirta. So we'll say, what happened? Mari Bar Isik, the owner of the paradise, owner of the orchard, said to a sharecropper, why didn't you give my distinguished guest even from better produce? So amalei amemar v'ravashi ne'mar zutra, hashta amaylo achas. So we'll say, so apparently, amemar and ravashi continued to eat. Marzucha still didn't eat. They turned to Marzucha. They said, Marzucha, what's the matter with you? Right? Mari Bar Isik, the owner, is back now. And you see clearly, he just said to the sharecropper, you should have given my guests even nicer produce, which means what? He's more than happy for us to eat of the produce of the field. Da, Tanya. Imnimsu yafos men shumasa truma. Amar lahu. So we'll say, watch this. So they brought the proof from the truma case. Right, that if the owner comes right, if Reuven comes back to the field and he sees that I separated out truma, and he says that what? You should have separated out even nicer produce, and there is nicer produce, that's indicative that he's good with what I did. So too over here, when Mari Bar Isik comes back and he says to the sharecropper, you should have given them even nicer produce, the pashas assuming there was nicer produce, you see that Mari Bar Isik is happy to have us eating his produce. So Marzotra, you have something to eat. Samra lehach yomaravah, lo amru keilecha eitzal yafos elo le'inyin truma bilvad, Mishum de mitzvah hu venechale. So Marzutra said, guys, you're mixing apples and oranges, so to speak, or whatever, dates and pomegranates, right? Lemaisa, that concept that when Reuven comes back and he says, you should have separated out even nicer, that's by truma. That's by a mitzvah. Because by a mitzvah, we could see that a person might want to go above and beyond. Aval hocha, mishum kesifuso hu da amar hachi. I will say, what Marzutra was concerned about is that when Mari Bar Issik came home and he found that these Rabbanim were at his house eating his stuff, he would have been embarrassed. In other words, he says to the sharecropper, oh, you should have given them nicer produce. Why? Because he was embarrassed. In other words, what is he going to say? It could be that of his own volition, he wouldn't have offered any fruit, right? Or he didn't authorize any fruit to be offered. But now they're already eating. He's already the host. He might have felt compelled to say, oh, you should have given them nicer stuff, because again, he would have felt embarrassed had he not offered more. But maybe it was not a wholehearted, offering. Okay, therefore Marzutra chose to go ahead and not partake. We'll say it's a fascinating yisod how in life you do have to be careful about putting people in a situation where they have no choice but to say yes. Right? Because sometimes people feel compelled, they don't want to look miserly, or they don't want to look, you know, just ungenerous. You have to be careful about putting people in situations where halacha l'maaseh, they may feel compelled to give, even if they are of themselves talking about, even though, again, it doesn't apply to tzedakah. Tzedakah is a different kind of situation, right? But l'maaseh just in life, about putting people in situations where they may feel compelled they have to do something and they don't really want to do it. Okay, let's go right there. Says the Imar Tashma, Odeo atal alein, v'sama charei ze b'chi yutan. Mr. Abel say, we've actually seen this halacha before. So very quickly, the halacha is like this. Produce only becomes susceptible to tumah when it comes in contact with one of the seven liquids. So we'll say, Sina, interestingly enough, the halacha is like this. Obviously, if you intentionally wet something, so then of course it is going to be receptive to tumah. The case of the Rabbi say is like this. Let's say again, my produce is out in the fields. Let's say I have just a simple case. I have apples, right, spread out. And what happens now? It rains, and I see that my produce is wet, and I'm happy. I'm happy that the produce is wet. In other words, I'm happy that it became wet. So what's the halacha? Hareze b'chiyutan. Then ultimately, what's the b'chiyutan means that now it's receptive to tumah. So again, this, in other words, the obvious case is if I actively wet my produce, right? If I actively cause my produce to become wet, then obviously it becomes receptive to tumah. The case you're talking about over here is my produce became wet. It rained. And now I realize that the produce is wet, and I'm happy that it's wet. Now it's receptive to tumah. Okay. The Gemara says, Nigvu, however, said, let's say my produce became wet, then it dried. And I only found out that it became wet after it dried. Even though I'm happy that it became wet, afapisha samach, I will say, I'm a base, einon b'chiyutan. It is not receptive to tumah. Why? Why not? Because I will say, my awareness only occurred when? Only occurred when? After the produce was already dried. So the Gemara says, "Time of my why is this? Lag mishum de lo amrinon kevan digloi milsa de hashda nechal le mekar." Now, let's say, why is that? Because what do you see from here? What you see from here is that we don't say that if you find something out now, then your current das applies retroactively. That's what it means. So we'll say, why is the Gemara bringing this up? Because the Gemara wants to bring this as a proof that yeyosh shalomi das lo havi yeyosh. That even when a person finds out that they lost something, right, and now that they're miyayish, we don't apply that yeyosh mindset retroactively. In the same way that if I find out that my produce was wet, now it's dry, but I'm happy that it was wet, that doesn't make the produce susceptible to tumah. Okay? Says the Marshani Hasam Dichsiv Kiyitin. Let's say tumah is different. This case is different. Why? Because the lashon by tumah is kiyitin, when a person will place the moisture, will place the liquid on his produce. Achi yite. You see from here that produce only becomes susceptible to tumah if you actively put the liquid on the produce. Ilimar says, 1 second. Iachi reisha nami. But that's not true. We just saw before that if it rains, right, let's say if it rains and the produce becomes wet, and now the produce is still wet, and you're happy that it's wet, it's susceptible to tumah. So you see from here that what? You don't have to actively put the moisture on the produce for it to become susceptible to tuba. Where it says, no. Hasam kidra papa. Dira papa ramiksiv. The papa contrasts the two psukim. On one hand, the pasuk says ki yitain, the karinon ki yutan. So we'll say the pasuk says ki yitain. Now, what does ki yitain mean? Ki yitain means a person places one of the seven liquids on the produce. But we read it yutan. Yutan means what? Liquid will be placed on one on the produce. In other words, we'll say, so I'm not doing it myself, it's happening. So how do you reconcile this? Okay, so which one is it? Which one is it, we'll say? Does the liquid, do one of the seven liquids have to actively be placed on the produce? Or is it enough if the produce becomes wet? And again, I'm just happy with the fact that it became wet. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ba'inon ki yutan dumya dechi yitain. You need yutan that's like yitain. How so? Ma yitain ladas af ki yutan nami ladas. The Gemara says, just like yitain means it's happening with my das, so to the yutan. So in other words, the Gemara says, bottom line, by moisture and tumah, I don't have to place the moisture on, I don't have to place the liquid on the produce for it to become susceptible to tumah. But what does have to happen? What does have to happen? I have to be acutely aware and desirous of the produce becoming wet while it's still wet. While it's still wet. But if I only find out that the produce became wet after it was dried, even though I was happy that it became wet, it's not susceptible to tumah. So we'll say, so bottom line, the Gemara just says, you can't bring this up over here because this is a separate halacha. Okay, tashma. So we'll say again, we're still in our machlokes abayin rabba. Still in our machlokes. So tashma. Then Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shma, Ben Yosadon, minayin la'aveva sheshat fanar shimuteres. So we'll say, how do we know that ultimately, again, if I have an object, and the object was washed away by the river, that it is mutter. And we'll say, now, what does it mean that it's mutter? That if someone else finds it, they're allowed to keep it, right? Essentially, because when the river washes it away, I have yeush. Once I have yeush, it becomes hefker. When someone else finds it, they're allowed to keep it. To which the Gemara says, Dichsiv, v'chin sasa l'chamoro, v'chin sasa l'simboso, v'chin sasa l'cholav edas achicha. So we'll say, this is the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects. So if you find your friend's lost object, this is what you should do for his donkey, this is what you should do for his clothing, and this is what you should do for everything that your brother loses. Asher tovad mimenu umitzasa. Something that it was lost to your brother, and you found it. So this is actually fascinating. Gemara says, "Mi sha'avuda himenu umetsuya etzel kol adam." So we'll say, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda applies to what? Something that is lost to the owner, but actively found and available to everyone else. So I'll say, that's the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, right? So the owner right now doesn't have it, but it's easily accessible to everyone else. Yosa sazu, what does it come to exclude? Sha'avuda mimenu ve'ena matsuya etzel kol adam. So I'll say, what does it come to exclude? It comes to exclude a case of an object that is lost to the owner, but is not easily accessible to everyone else. So I'll say, what's a good example of that? The river washing away an object. So when the river washes away my property, so we'll say it's avuda, it's lost to me. Is it accessible to everyone else? No, it's in the river. Who knows where the river is going to deposit it? So we'll say, it's actually interesting. The paradigm, we're going to talk much more about this, but the paradigm of Hashavas Aveda, the returning a lost object, is it is lost to the owner, but available to everyone else. Therefore, again, we'll say in this case where the river washes away the object, it is lost to the owner, but not available to everyone else. And therefore, there is no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, i.e. the item is hefker. And whoever finds it is permitted to go ahead and keep it. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So the isura dumya dehatera. And we do understand. And ultimately, again, the case of Isser, ultimately, again, is comparable to heter. In other words, we'll say, which means, look at Rashi. Rashi is the first short line. What do you see from here? The Torah itself compares a case of a situation where I am prohibited to keep something versus when I am permitted to keep something. That's what it means when it says Isser and Heter. Isser means I can't keep it. Heter means I can keep it. Mahatera, So we'll say, so just like again in the case of Heter, whether the object has a simon or doesn't have a simon, it doesn't matter. Shara, I'm permitted to keep it. Afi sura, so to any case when I can't keep it. Bein the ispe simon, bein the less pe simon isura. So we'll say, so again, either way, I'm not permitted to go ahead and keep it. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta Durava. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Look, first of all, look at Rashi. Afi sura, the mitsuya eitzel kol adam. So we'll say, so remember again, the case of Heter is going to be the case of where the object is lost to the owner and not accessible to everyone else. That's the case of Heter. So therefore, Heter means there's no mitzvah hashava saveda. The object is effectively hefker. Wherever someone finds it, they're permitted to keep it. The case of Isura is where ultimately, again, it's not accessible to the owner, is accessible to everyone else, and therefore I can't keep it. I have to return it. So the Gemara says like this, interesting on both sides. Just like in the case of, so we compare the case of Isra and Heter. Look at Rashi. Afisura, the mitsuya eitzel kaladam. So we'll say, so Isura is the case of where it's not accessible to the owner, but it is accessible to everyone else. Therefore, there's a mitzvah hashavas haveda. Lo chilek bein im simen dechiyadam yayishlei. I'm sorry. Bein ein simen. So that makes no distinction whether the object has a simen or doesn't have a simen. Because we'll say, remember again, if the object doesn't have a simen, then bepashtos the owner is miyayish. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, when ultimately, again, a person loses an object, and the object is not accessible to the owner, is accessible to everyone else, it makes no difference if the object has a simen or doesn't have a simen. One is obligated to try to go ahead and get it back to the owner. Even though what? It's the type of situation where when the owner becomes aware of what it is that he lost, he is going to be miyayish. So what do you see from here? You see from here that yeyosh shalom midas is not yeyosh. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta derava tiyufta. This effectively refutes the position of Rava, and indeed it is an effective refutation. So Bosai said, the Gemara essentially just went ahead and refuted the position of Rava, and it, which means paskining like Abaye, that Yeyosh shalom midas lo havi Yeyosh. Which means, Rabbi Bosai, that halacha lemaisa, when Reuven loses an object and is unaware that he lost the object, even though when he does become aware, he is going to have Yeyosh. He's going to have Yeyosh. Nevertheless, right now, because I found it before he had Yeyosh, therefore, halacha lemaisa, I am not permitted to go ahead and keep the object. To which the Gemara says, v'hilchus hakavase da'abaye b'yal kigam. And ultimately, again, the Gemara says, halacha lemaisa, halacha follows the bayin yakam. So we'll say these are the six cases that the halacha follows Abaye over Rava. And again, interestingly enough, the first of the six cases, Ya'al Yud, is Yeyosh Shalomidas. So I'll say, so beautifully, the Gemara has reached the conclusion that halacha lemaisa, we ask him, like Abaye, Yeyosh Shalomidas, lo havi Yeyosh. So again, halacha lemaisa, when the owner loses an object, he's unaware that he lost it. Even though when he does become aware, he will have Yeyosh. Right now, we do not view him as having had Yeyosh, and therefore, whoever finds it, ultimately, again, is not permitted to keep it. Incredible. Good. Amr Rav says, go right for just another minute. Amr Rav Acha, Breid Rav Ravashi. D'chini Acha, the Yisos of Rava. So Rav says, now that we've effectively refuted the position of Rava, Hani Tamri D'Zeka, Hei Chachlim Elohu. So Rav says, so what do you do, ultimately, again? Tamri D'Zeka means the dates that are blown off the tree by the wind. By the wind. Rashi says, Sharuach Meshir, how are you allowed to eat it? After all, again, I will say, isn't that a case of Yeish Shalomidas? Yeish Shalomidas. To which the Gemara says, Amar Luhu Kevan Deika Shkatsim V'Ramasim Dekaachli Luhu Meikara Yeushe Miyayish Minayhu. So I will say, it's different over there. Why is it different over there? Because everyone knows that when dates fall on the ground, right, the Shkatsim V'Ramasim, it's disgusting. It's going to get gross. So because of that, an owner understands from the beginning that halacha lemaisa, anything that falls on the ground, ultimately, again, is going to be miyayish. And therefore, essentially, It's not a KCBA Shlomi Das. Right, so we'll stop over here for today. Tremendous. Tremendous. We got resolution in the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Yal Kigam. Yeyosh Shlomi Das. Lo Havi Yeyosh. Shkoyach, everyone.